Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so excited that you are here and that you clicked on this episode. The first Wednesday of every month is our client testimonial episode, and this entire episode is basically like one big Fine Food Freedom win of the week. I usually share a little win before we get into the bulk of the episode, but I'm not going to do that because the entire episode is a win. Now, you're going to hear from our incredible client, Jess, today. It was such an honor to speak to her. I absolutely loved everything about our conversation. But one thing we were talking about off air when we stopped recording was how we just dislike the word testimonial. I'm like, should I change these, like the words? We even have a testimonials page on our website that has hundreds of testimonial videos of people sharing their story of working with our team. And that's why we do these episodes. I want you to hear from people that have worked with our providers and have walked an intuitive eating journey. But the reason why I dislike the word testimonial is it really reminds me of diet culture. It makes me think of kind of like the word transformation, like before and after photo type diet culture shit. Like, and I was talking to Jess about this, and any of our clients that you've listened to their testimonial videos, it's not a before and after, right? Intuitive eating is not this linear timeline or this start and finish journey. Like, it is a lifelong journey. And so when I am chatting with a client on the testimonial episodes, they're really just sharing what has their experience been. And anything that they share with us, I think is invaluable, because before walking intuitive eating journey myself, I could not get enough of this kind of content, of hearing from people that have gone through this journey or that are actively going through this journey. And Jess shares on today's episode how she resides in a larger body, and to hear her perspective is just so invaluable. And I'm so grateful for her being so open and sharing with us. So without further ado, let's get into it with our incredible client, Jess. All right, Jess. So I would love to hear from you first. How did you hear about Fine Food Freedom? Where did you find us? And what made you say, you know what, I want to reach out and see if I can get some support?
I found you on Instagram through your videos that you post, and I was following for a while. And actually, what made me reach out for support was, and I don't even know how long ago that was at this point, a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yes, I can tell you the exact date, actually. Okay. You did my homework. You filled out your initial paperwork July 2nd of 2024, and your first appointment was on July 5th.
Oh, all right. So a while.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I reached out because I had a period, was late, a few days late. And the thing that freaked me out the most about possibly being pregnant was that I was in my largest body, like freaked out. And I was like, I might need some help here because that's very uncomfortable. And it was surprising to me, like all the things to worry about with possibly being pregnant, that was my number one.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, and I'm assuming you were pregnant because you said
that.
Oh, you were not. Okay. I just thought that was like the cliffhanger.
No.
But interesting that that was kind of like the straw that kind of broke the camel's back there to get you to reach out. So, okay. So you have been working with our team, like we said, since July 5th of 2024. You've gotten support with our provider, Maya. I counted before we jumped on, you have had 38 sessions over the past few years, which is incredible. Incredible. And I'm assuming I should have checked this, but do you have full coverage with insurance benefits too?
I do. Yeah. They're all free.
Isn't that insane?
Which was another reason I was like, why would I not do, like, I have to try this. It's totally free.
Yes. Most people have no idea that they have the coverage before they check. So I always like to say this, because for people listening, if they're like, wait, I've heard you talk to clients, but I had no idea that I might have this covered by insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such an important thing to highlight. So that is incredible, incredible to hear. So now, did you have any knowledge of what intuitive eating or this kind of anti-diet health at every size paradigm was before working with Maya? Or was it just, I want to find a dietitian to help me?
So I did not have an in-depth understanding for sure, but I was tracking with what you were saying in the videos that I was watching. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this feels like very aligned for me,
yeah.
like where I am right now after dieting for probably 15 years, you know? And I was like, this, I'd known for a long time that it wasn't working, but I just didn't know what else, like what other option was there?
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you so much for sharing that. And that's what I always call like stage one of intuitive eating is diet rock bottom, where we get to a place where it's like, okay, I know I don't want to diet anymore, but what the hell do I do if I'm not dieting? Because it feels like my entire life has been dedicated to that.
Yeah. And you just feel like, oh, I'm going to just be off the rails. Like I need support, you know?
Yeah. So. And I feel like dieting creates that false narrative of like, when we're not on the diet, in those kind of pendulum swings, we feel out of control. So then that creates that false evidence of like, see, this is why I have to be on a diet, because if I'm not on a diet, then I'm out of control. But the whole reason we feel out of control is because of the restriction from the diet. Such a mindfuck, right?
It is.
Well, okay. So coming into this, that's awesome to hear though, that you connected with our social media and you're like, okay, this feels aligned. When you made that first session with Maya, or maybe even just the first couple, did you have any expectations of what you thought it would be like working with a dietitian? And then what has it actually been like over the past few years?
Yes, and nothing like I thought. So I told Maya at some point, I said, I think I'm still coming to sessions expecting that one day you're going to say, okay, now we need to get down to business and you need to tell me everything you ate and we're going to keep a food journal. And that it's never that for me. Maybe if that's some people's part of their journey, I don't know.
Not ours, not with our team. I can promise that. But we hear that a lot. People are like, when is that shoe going to drop? When is she going to tell me I have to eat 1200 calories? And it's like, no, we're not doing that here.
Right. And it's like, okay, well, we can talk about gentle nutrition if you want to. It's always whatever I come to the session with. And it's a lot less linear, I think, than people would expect. It's literally just, to me, I look at it as like a safe space to sit down with Maya and just review, like, how am I feeling about things? Are things working? Are they going well? Do I need support in some areas? Is there something I need to unpack and like have some exposure to different ideas around, you know, all these kinds of things?
I love that you shared that it's not a linear process, because I think when we come from diet culture, everything is so black and white. Tangible numbers, follow these rules, follow these portions, follow this meal plan, this calorie count, whatever that thing is, right?
And so like,
sorry,
to expand on that even further, like I was a nerd in school. I loved a syllabus. I liked a routine. Like here's what we're learning and here's it on the test. So we're kind of wired to expect that, I think.
Absolutely. And I think this gray area can be really difficult, because it's like, wait, what do you mean I don't have a number that I'm reaching for, or this very, very specific tangible data, although we, of course, have different assessments and things that we look at as our behaviors change.
Yeah.
So incredible to hear that it's exceeded your expectations, it sounds like, of how she's showed up with you in session. Yeah. And that's one thing I like to kind of expand on for our listeners is, I always tell my providers, you know, all of our providers are very, very trained in this work. But when we have providers that are newer, they're like, I've even seen that in providers. They're like, okay, what do I do with a client? And it's like, no. How can I help you? That's what we ask them. Because you might have, like you said, a syllabus of, okay, we're going to talk about set point theory, or we're going to talk about weight stigma. And then they come in like, all charged off of a holiday where Aunt Cheryl was talking about her keto diet and her GLP-1s the whole time. So now that's what we're digging into. And so it's so important to meet the client where they're at and what they're looking for in that session. Thinking back on your 38 sessions with Maya, have there been any specific aha moments, quotes, things that she said, exercises, reflections that you've done that have stuck out to you, that still stick with you and were like, this was a pivotal moment for me, or just anything that's coming up for you?
So many.
Feel free to share as many as you want.
One of the more recent ones was that we were talking about, you know, just like accepting being in a fat body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that it's there's no moral implication of being in a fat body. And I was like, yeah, but I feel like I have to, well, if I'm going to be in a fat body, I have to also do some amazing thing and like prove that, you know. And so she sent me, you know exactly what it is, I'm sure, but she sent me this article that was like the fat archetypes. Mm-hmm. And I just reading through that, like, oh, these are all the ways that like fat people have been told they have to show up in order to be relevant. And just like reading through, and like I was saying, exposure to different things, you know, different accounts, different people, different creators, different books. I'm like, this, yeah, my exposure has just been so narrow because diet culture is so loud. It's everywhere, you know, you kind of have to search out the different things. But I mean, so many moments like that where I just come to her with something that I feel is like abstract and she's like, here's a resource, or here's, you know, we talk about it and it's, you're not the only one. And yeah, just that kind of thing. Absolutely. It's always helpful.
Absolutely. Well, I think like you said, like diversifying our feed and our media and what we're taking in, diet culture is so invasive. It's everywhere. It's on social, it's on radio, it's on TV. You think about movies, like very rarely do we see a fat character as the main character. And mm-hmm. So it's so important to find things that represent all humans, not only body size, right, but race and gender and sexuality and all of these things. Have there been any favorite creators that stick out to you, or TV shows or anything, just out of curiosity?
I watched a documentary and then bought this book after I watched it, and I haven't finished it, but I've started it.
Okay, so for anyone listening, go ahead and read it out for us.
The book title is What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Fat. And by Aubrey Gordon, creator of Your Fat Friend. I guess that's the documentary title. Yes. But I watched that and just like watching her just exist in a fat body and just be like, it's so ridiculous that everybody says these things. And she's just embodying like peace in her body and yes. being comfortable with herself. And it was beautiful. I was like, I need to read whatever she wrote.
Aubrey Gordon is incredible. And I think I'm looking. Yeah, she wrote another book. I'm like, let me make sure this is her. Yes, You Just Need to Lose Weight, in quotes, is her newest book. But she is an incredible person to follow. So I'm so glad you highlighted her. Mm-hmm. This is just so random, but have you ever watched Shrill on Hulu?
I don't think so.
Highly recommend if you have a Hulu subscription. Shrill is... it has either like two or three seasons. And do you know A.D. Bryant from SNL by chance? Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so A.D. is the main character. A.D. wrote, I believe she either wrote or directed the series. But they do such a good job of representing fat bodies, queer, black bodies, like you name it. And like the opening scene, she's at her gynecologist. And the gynecologist like hands her a pamphlet. And it's like, have you tried losing weight? And she like encompasses so much of like the medical fat phobia and dating in a fat body, and she's just fucking hilarious. So highly recommend if you've never watched it, because I think like those are things that are harder to find, like when we're looking at media on TV, right, to find fat bodies and just being normal, right?
And that's just
existing, like you said. And it is wild to think that it is such a radical idea to accept yourself in a larger body. But I understand why, because of the fatphobic society we live in and all of the belief systems that diet culture so deeply ingrains in us.
For sure.
So when you filled out your paperwork back on July 2nd in 2024, mm-hmm. I would love to read to you what you put for your long-term goals. And because obviously I do not, I doubt you remember what you wrote. I don't remember what I ate for breakfast this morning. Right. So I'm going to read it to you. And I just want you to react to it and say like, is that still true? Is that something you guys work through? Just anything that comes up for you.
Okay.
So you wrote, I'd love to enjoy eating without feeling guilt or shame for eating foods that I like that may not be the, air quote, healthiest. I'd love to look in the mirror and be happy with my body. So let's respond to the first part first related to food. I'd love to eat without feeling guilt or shame for eating foods that may not be the, air quotes, healthiest.
Well, I don't necessarily use the healthy word so much anymore, but mm-hmm. I definitely am enjoying eating again. Not to say that everything is, you know, sunshine and rainbows all the time, but those obsessive thoughts are not obsessive anymore. I notice them when they come up. I let them be there. I'm like, I get what you're doing. And
I know who you are.
I know you. Yes. Hello, old friend. But yeah, it just kind of gets to be what it is. And then I can still enjoy what I'm doing.
Yes, you can carry on living your life and not let one of those negative thoughts derail you or create a tailspin of behaviors.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So when you say you don't use the word healthiest or healthy around food, tell me more about that.
It's funny. My son, he comes home and he'll from school one day and he's asking for a snack and he's like, is this healthy? And I was like, what does that mean, buddy? What do you mean by that? Like, does it have nutrients that your body might enjoy? Or, you know, like it's just not a black and white thing anymore as it was.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes.
I love that. And that's something so many people, right, when we come into this intuitive eating journey, we say healthy or not healthy. Again, diet culture language. But that is such an incredible gift that you're giving your son. Mm-hmm. That neutral language around food. And even if it's whatever, a cookie, a Pop-Tart, you know, whatever, it's still healthy if it brings a smile to our face and we enjoy it. And it gives us carbohydrates and energy, right? And so it's really rewiring those belief systems around food. So now let's talk about that second part of your long-term goals you wrote. I'd love to look in the mirror and be happy with my body.
I would love to look at that. So I think this is interesting because Maya and I just had this conversation in a recent session. We were talking about how diet culture tricks you into believing that if you just hit a goal weight or hit this, you know, whatever it is that you've decided is your thing, goal, everything will be amazing. And like all of your problems will disappear. Like everything, you will be ecstatic all the time. And I was like, Maya, that's just not real life. Like some days I look in the mirror and I'm like, just neutral, mostly neutral at this point. And I don't really have experiences too often anymore I don't have them at all where I'm just down for the whole day about seeing myself in the mirror in the morning. You know what I mean? Mm. So it's like, I'm not, I probably wouldn't use the word happy anymore about that anymore either. Like I have so much more peace inside my body. I respect my body a lot more than I used to. I consider my body a lot more than I used to. And that's not just food. That's like giving my body rest when it needs it and not needing to earn it and actually resting, not laying down and thinking about all the things that I could or should be up doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like a whole different relationship with the body and not exactly what I expected, but very real. I don't feel like I'm pretending or like reaching for some unattainable goal. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. That was so beautifully said, Jess. And I always like to explain to people that, like, if we have any listeners who are newer to this, where it sounds like exactly what you said. It's you've engaged in this respectful relationship with your body now, whereas before, when we're dieting, it's like, I'm not going to be happy until I hit X weight, right? And so there's so much hatred and negative self-talk and guilt and shame. And I always say to people, like, we cannot hate our way to happiness. We cannot be so hateful towards our body, but then hit a weight and look in the mirror and be like, okay, perfect. Now I love you, right? It's like if to your son every day, if you were like, oh, I hate your body. I hate your body. I hate your body. And then one day you randomly wake up and be like, just kidding. I love your body. He wouldn't believe you, right? And it's like when we take it outside of ourselves and really look at it as this like relationship, it makes so much sense. And it's really about building that kindness and that compassion for yourself.
Yeah. And letting yourself be in places where that's expected, that where that's kind of like the norm, that we're going to have room for a compassionate relationship with ourselves. Because in spaces that I was in the past, that wasn't a consideration. That wasn't even a card on the table.
Yes.
What do you mean, relationship with my body, you know?
Yes, absolutely. So. And I love that you highlighted previously too, that you're like, well, it's not always rainbows and butterflies. And like how, when we opened the episode together, you also said like, this isn't a linear process. Mm-hmm. So I would love to, maybe you can give us an example or just walk us through now, if you have a negative body thought or if you have an obsessive thought about food, you kind of alluded to, you catch that thought, you recognize it, and where do you go from there? Versus what did it look like before working with Maya? Let's start there.
Well, before I started coaching and when I was like in the height of my disordered eating, my first thought every morning was to go to the mirror and see if I was smaller. And that sounds ridiculous, but I'm sure many women can relate to that. That's your immediate first thought. And you're like, I haven't eaten anything today. Let me see how small my body is this morning. Well, you just get to this point. I mean, I dieted down and got so small that I realized like, this isn't a body problem. This is a thought problem.
Yeah.
Like I'm here at what the goal, I'm past below what the goal ever was, and I'm still not happy. I still think it could be better, smaller, whatever that is, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just not even the consideration anymore. Those thoughts, like I said, I can recognize it. Kind of like in meditation where you're like, I see that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Float away.
Yep.
And maybe that takes more time on some days and less time on other days, but I don't act on those thoughts. I'm not restricting because of those thoughts. I'm not starving myself. I'm not skipping me, you know, all the things that I maybe would have done in the past. I'm not jumping on another diet plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because think about how many diet culture triggers are everywhere that I can relate so much to that when I was in the height of my disordered eating where, one little thing would just send me on a tailspin of, okay, the next diet or the next rule or the next starvation or whatever it was.
Yeah. And then you just become meaner and meaner to yourself.
To yourself and others. Like, I was never happy. And
right.
that's a question for you. Like, what has intuitive eating given you? How has it changed your life outside of just food and body image?
How has it changed my life outside of food and body image? I was thinking about that this morning because I thought that might be a topic. And I think the best way I can describe it is like diet culture made me feel like so just full of just the noise of diet culture. You know, like you're always trying to meet this unattainable goal. It's a moving target. It's just all consuming. And what I have now is just a lot more space for things that I actually want to think about and implement and be present for. I'm much more present with my children. Mm-hmm. It's easier for me to regulate my emotions when I'm not hungry all the fucking time.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm more authentic. I am more outgoing with people now, you know. It used to be really difficult. I mean, like all these things to me feel connected, you know.
Totally. Well, like you said before, when we're having obsessive thoughts about food in our body, we can't be doing something that we're passionate about. We can't be, you know, we might snap at our kids more because we're stressed about how we just put on 5 pounds or ate something that we air quote shouldn't or whatever it may be.
Because we're trying to make ourselves go do CrossFit for an hour every morning and like you just don't have any time because you're packed your schedule with all of these shoulds. And now I get to evaluate, like, what do I actually want to do? What's interesting to me? What feels fun? You know, like in exploring, right now I'm looking at my relationship with movement and I'm like, what do I actually want to do?
I just made a video on that this morning. I love that. We're on the same wavelength. But it's because you get to bring the joy back to that, right? Because when it was a punishment and only for calorie burning and shrinking your body, and now that's not the intention, it's like, oh, well, what movement do I actually like? I have no idea. I need to go try a dance class or gardening or kayaking or whatever it is. Have there been any hobbies, whether they're movement related or not, that now that you have more of this brain space that you've found that you really enjoy?
That's fun. Yeah. So I have movement related ones and not movement related. So I have kind of started getting a little bit curious about yoga.
Love that.
And that's interesting to me. And Maya and I talk about it because it's like yoga is so, you know, what yoga actually is not just about movement. It's like so many things and touches so many of the things we've been talking about. So that's really interesting, like doing a movement practice where I have the space to consider things while I'm moving. I think I used to be so, like you kind of just shut off parts of your brain to get through the workout when it's a punishment. You know what
yes.
I mean? And now I'm sometimes like crying tears of joy while I'm moving because it feels good and I'm free to do it however I want to do it.
Yes.
And then I've also been like crafting. I like to craft. My kids like to craft. We like to paint things and those little diamond art.
Yes. You know, but, I know what you're talking about. Julie, one of our dietitians at Fine Food Freedom, is obsessed with diamond art. She introduced me
so
to
fun.
It. I need to get one. I've never tried it, but I've seen some of her creations.
Yeah, it's really fun. But like that kind of thing. I didn't used to let myself do things just because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
You've brought a lot of joy back to your life, it sounds like,
yes.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So to close today, if someone came to you, a loved one, a friend, a colleague, and they said, hey, I'm thinking of working with Fine Food Freedom, what would you say to them and why?
I would be like, great, do that, like yesterday.
You should have already done that.
Yeah, it's great, do it. And but. Why? I mean, like there's no drawback. If you don't like it, you can quit. If you decide you want to still diet, you can quit and go do that. But it's you might not like it if you're expecting something linear, like a syllabus, but mm-hmm. you're ready to like really look at yourself and your life and, you know, be honest with yourself and it might be really great.
I love that. Anything else that we didn't touch on today or that you're thinking about that you want to share before we end?
Yeah, have like a capstone moment.
Please do.
Like a month ago, I had a late period again, and it was like 6 days, you know? So I'm like, I'm almost 40. Could be perimenopause. Also could be pregnant. So I took a test and was not pregnant. And then it took me 2 days to realize I didn't freak out about possibly being pregnant in my largest body.
Mm.
It was just peaceful.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That brings us full circle from how we started the episode, what brought you here. To yeah. realize it's okay.
Yeah.
I can exist in my body.
Yep.
I love
my body
that.
Can still do amazing things.
It absolutely can. So yeah. just for anybody listening who is really, really struggling in their body, and maybe they exist in a larger body, what do you want them to hear from you?
What do I want them to hear from me? That it doesn't really matter what culture or anyone else is saying about fat bodies if you cannot accept it for yourself. I think for a long time I was talking to Maya about, well, you know, so-and-so is saying this, and then I see this here. And at some point it, like a switch flipped, and I was like, but they're not saying those things directly to me, and I have the choice to listen or not listen, look at that or not look at that. It's hitting me because I still believe there's something wrong with my body.
Oh, that is so powerful. That is powerful. For all of our listeners, you are enough as you are.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's important to turn inward and to look at those relationships.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jess, for sharing all of this with us. I really appreciate
you. Thank you for being here to create this space.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Fine Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast.